What is the point of life? An advanced explanation. Are you ready to hear it? Listen close, because this is going to be really good. Why is life structured as it is? Have you ever wondered that? If we take a step back and we look at the big picture, what is reality up to? What is it doing? Where is evolution headed? I mean, really, look, why be born? Why suffer? Why grow? Why mature? Why go to school? Why get married? Why have sex? Why earn money? Why die? Why go through all these contrivances? It sure is a lot of effort for nothing, isn't it? Or maybe it's not for nothing. Then again, maybe it is. What is reality really up to? Oh, Leo, reality's not up to anything. Don't be silly. It's just reality. It's just some arbitrary stuff going on. You really think that's what's going on? Some arbitrary stuff is going on? You think that this is arbitrary? You think the room you're sitting in is arbitrary? You think this face and body before you is arbitrary? You think these words coming out of my mouth are arbitrary? You think that your ability to understand every word that I say, these various abstractions, is arbitrary? You think billions of years of evolution, a universe filled with billions of stars and planets, this is all arbitrary? It's just somehow here, without any further logic behind it. Well, stop assuming that life is dumb. It's not dumb at all. If anyone here is dumb, it's you, for failing to see the design of life. Life has a grand overarching design, and it is not by any means random or accidental or coincidental or arbitrary. This is a grand design of the highest brilliance, a design that is so epically brilliant that you struggle to even comprehend a fraction of it, a tiny fraction of it, from your limited vantage point as a human being. So do you really want to know what the point of life is? It's possible to know. The problem is, can you handle knowing it? Because, of course, as you might expect, when we're talking about the design of the entire fucking universe, the point might be a little bit radical, a little bit bigger than your petty human problems, a little bit bigger than your petty human logic and what your mind can understand. And maybe it won't fit into what society has taught you, what your religion or your guru or your science has taught you. Maybe it's just a little bit bigger than that. Okay, so here it is. Hold on to your hat. To understand this, we're going to have to split this up into two parts. So ultimately, I want to tell you what the point of your human life is. But before we get there, we need to talk about what the point of the universe is, because your human life is a part of the universe. And so we got to start at the macro level, the universe, move down to the micro level, which is your little petty human life. And then, of course, they will converge, as they must, because everything is ultimately one. So here it is. The universe, the macro picture. The universe is an infinite singularity, as I have said before. Imagine a hyperdimensional sphere with infinite radius. That means it extends forever, and it never ends. It extends not in three dimensions, not in four dimensions, in an infinite number of dimensions. Of course, it doesn't even look like a sphere, because a sphere has a finite radius. What does a sphere with an infinite radius look like? Well, actually, it looks identical to a sphere with a zero radius. So in a sense, this sphere is literally nothing. But at the same time, it's everything. This sphere contains inside of it every possibility, all possible pasts, presents, and futures happening simultaneously at once. Not inside of time and not inside of space, because those are within this sphere, that I'm talking about. This sphere is an unlimited field of consciousness. This field is self-aware, sentient, alive, intelligent, unlimited, all-loving, and creative. This field is, of course, God, as religions have talked about for thousands of years, as people have speculated about. But you can become directly conscious that this is the case. You don't need to speculate or theorize about it or take it as dogma. This field subdivided itself into an infinite number of parts. Why did it do this? Because there is no distinction between a division and a unity. So this sphere, since it's eternal and has existed outside of time forever, already contained within itself all possible subdivisions. Because this sphere is absolute infinity, an infinite singularity, it is one. There is only one of them in existence. There can only be one because this is reality. There is only one reality. Within this reality are an infinite number of sub-realities, but the ultimate overarching encapsulating reality is one. And that turns out to be a very crucial point to understanding the purpose of the whole universe. Because if you assume that there's something outside the universe, you're not getting it. There can't be anything outside of it because it has an infinite radius. So it includes every possible space where there could be something else. It includes every possible dimension where there might be something else. You see that? So because it's one, it's radically one, because it's so total, there is nothing outside of itself and no one outside of itself. And so there's only one thing that this sphere can do. All it can do for eternity is explore itself and be itself. This sphere, remember, don't think of it as a dumb physical object. Think of it as a sentient field of consciousness. It's a mind. It's a universal mind, which is able to imagine and think. This sphere has a desire. It can desire. It wants to know itself. And it wants to be itself. Of course, just for it to be, it has to be itself, just to be. But it also wants to know itself. And as it turns out, because it's one, there's no distinction between knowing and being. And it cannot be itself or know itself, because being and knowing are really the same thing, unless it lives through itself. It needs to live through every single possibility of itself in order to simply be itself. So what this singularity does in its infinite wisdom is it creates and sends down probes into itself. So imagine this sphere sending probes inside of itself to look into itself, to see what it is. Because otherwise, without these probes, it can't really know what it is. So what's happening is that the universe is trying to see its own insides from every possible perspective. And all there are in the universe are perspectives. There is nothing but perspectives. But there is an infinite number of these perspectives. And so for the universe to be what it is, it has to explore all of those perspectives. And when it completes doing that, then it will complete its own existence. In this way, the universe bees itself, knows itself, experiences itself, and creates itself, because all of these are actually one. To be itself, it must create itself. To know itself, it must experience itself. So being, knowing, experience, and creation all turn out to be the same thing. So you might also think of it like this. If this is a giant mind which can think up anything, it can imagine anything, it can imagine dreams to infinity, any number of dreams it can imagine. So imagine that this mind, in order to realize itself as what it is and to realize its full potential as an infinite mind, what it must do is it must literally think through every possible thought that can be thought and every possible dream that can be imagined. And so, of course, it goes about doing this. It has forever to do it because time itself is something that it dreams up. Space itself is something that it dreams up, amongst a million other things that it dreams up. So this mind or this universe has trillions of sentient beings in it, all of which are its probes. They're not apart from it. They're not separate from it. They are it. They are like tunnels that run through the interstices of this hypersphere. And your human life, this thing that's happening right now that you're conscious of, this is one of those probes. And so what your life is from God's perspective, from the absolute, the ultimate perspective, from the highest, biggest picture perspective, is that God is using your body and your life to give itself a colonoscopy, to look inside of its own asshole to see what's in there. That's your life. Ta-da! That's what you're doing here. You are God giving itself a colonoscopy. And that's what every creature is. Because without you, you see, God could not know what it is. So you are a essential, fundamental, irreducible part of God. You are, of course, also the whole of God itself. Because God is nothing but the sum total of all of its infinite parts. And you are one of those parts. And you are all of those parts. But right now, you're only conscious that you're one of those parts. So, let's summarize here. What is the point of the universe? The point of the universe, I'm going to phrase it here and frame it for you in maybe 8 different ways. So these are all basically the same thing. We're talking about the same thing, but from different perspectives. So one way we could phrase it is that the point of the universe is itself. Because there's nothing outside of itself because it's one. So what's the point? The point is it. This is the point. Being is its own point. Another way to phrase it is that the point is for God to simply be itself. Another way to phrase it is that the point is to experience all the parts and the whole, because you can't know the whole without experiencing all the parts. Another way to phrase it is that it's for God to experience being a creator. See, fundamentally, God is a creator. It's a creative capacity. It's an infinite creative capacity, so it creates everything. It's like a fountain that just spews out creativity, and so it does so for eternity, to infinity, creating everything, and then delighting in its own creation. And through this process, God actualizes itself as a creator. Another way to phrase it is that the point of the universe is God realization. It's for God to awaken to its self. It's for God to experience its own infinite magnitude. Because God is a marvelous thing. And it's epic and it's huge. It's the biggest thing that exists. So how does it realize its own enormity? Through this process called life. That's how. The point of the universe is for God to create itself and to love itself. And this part about love, it might seem like it's a cute romantic New Age notion, but it's not. This is absolutely central to the physics of the universe, is love. It's all created out of love and for love. See my episode, What is Love? If you want to know more about that. Love is a deep metaphysical topic. I'm talking about metaphysical platonic love here. I'm not talking about some sexual attraction, although, of course, that's one example of love. And the other way we could phrase the point of the universe is that it's unity through division. God realizes its own unity through all of its own divisions. But now you're wondering, well, Lee, okay, that maybe sounds interesting and cool, but what has it got to do with my mundane, ordinary life? You're talking about stuff about the universe that has nothing to do with my personal life and my job and my relationships and my family. Well, here we go. Here's the connection. So again, the point of your human life now, and I'm going to explain it about eight different perspectives, phrase it into eight different ways, is as follows. Number one is to realize that you are God. Because everything is one, you're not just a part of God, you are the whole of God. And so a very important part of your human petty life is to realize that you are that, the whole, and not just a part. That you are not just merely a probe or the eyeball on the colonoscopy machine, but that you are the one looking through the colonoscopy machine. So imagine that you're giving yourself a colonoscopy. And so your job is to realize that you're doing that because right now, so far in your life, the only thing you realize is that you are the tip that goes in. And you don't realize that you're the rest of it and the one looking through it and the one who it's inside of looking into. That's what you failed to realize so far. So that's a very important, central point of your life. Secondly, it's to realize that you created all of this, all of this, all of it, but that you forgot. Weird sounds behind me, distracting me. So where was I? Okay, so you forgot that you created all of this. So when you go out and you look into the night sky, the stars, and so forth, you created all that. And your job is to become aware of that. That's what it means to be aware of the oneness of it all. Your job is also, the point of your life, is to realize your own magnitude, just how big you are, to realize that you are unlimited, in fact, and absolutely infinite, and that you are the creator. You created it all. You just don't know how you did it yet. So your job is to find out. Your job is also to love yourself. And by that, I don't mean love your personal self, but of course, including that. But I mean loving all of yourself, loving everything. So when you go out and you look into the night sky, to the stars, everything you see and all the way beyond all that even, love all of that. Another point of your life is to become godlike. So this is a little bit separate and distinct from simply realizing that you're God, because you can realize that you're God, but then you can go back to being ungodlike in your manner and lifestyle. And so really, most of the work within spirituality and your evolution as a consciousness is becoming more and more godlike, that's the hardest part, is actually changing your lifestyle to reflect your realization that you are God and that you are the creator. Another important point of your human life is to be a conscious creator. And again, this is distinct from realizing that you are the creator. Because you can realize that you are the creator, but then you can still go about creating in an unconscious manner. So here, you need to actually realize that the power of creativity that spawned the entire universe is literally at your fingertips, at your disposal, should you choose to tap into it and to use it in a godlike manner. You can do that. But will you do that? Well, that's a whole nother point. Most people don't. Another point of your human life is to conquer fear with unconditional love. By doing so, you become godlike in your life, in the way that you hold and carry yourself, in the way you think and act. Another point of your human life is to embody love and goodness. Absolute love and absolute goodness, which is the same thing as saying to be godlike in your lifestyle. And as you do this, another point of your life is to inspire others through your example, in the same way that God inspires human beings to write poetry, to make movies, to create songs, to create paintings, to build buildings, to fly into outer space. All of this is inspiration, God's inspiration. But now see, when you realize that you are the creator and you take full ownership and responsibility for your creativity and what you create, and you start to do it consciously from love and goodness, having conquered your fear and your own selfishness and egotism, now you can inspire others through your example to also become godlike like you, and also to realize themselves as God. And the reason, of course, that you want to do this is not to earn some money from them, or to get some sex from them, or to get approval from them, or to become a guru. You want to do this because you, as God, realize that you are one. And so therefore, all those other people, all those other parts of you, your sisters and your brothers, that the greatest gift that you can give to them from God's position of love is the realization that they themselves are God. And so you can help them to unify the various divisions within God that were created. Another important point of your life is to experience the duality. People forget this, especially those people who are serious spiritual seekers seeking awakening. They forget that you're here, you're incarnated into this life for a specific reason. It's to experience duality. That's why you were created. You're a probe. You see? So don't go running off into some nirvanic realm just yet. Take in the richness of the duality that's here, because when you exit this life and when you fully merge back into the absolute, whenever that is, there's not going to be anything there. There's not going to be any distinction there. It's going to be completely non-dual and completely formless and indistinct. And so you're going to actually want to come back down here to experience distinction and duality, the up and the down, the good and the bad, and so forth. God wants to experience duality because duality is a part of non-duality. God wants to experience limitation. God doesn't just want to be unlimited, it also wants to be limited, because to be truly unlimited is simultaneously to limit yourself in every possible way. That's the enormity and the radicalness of this design. Another point of your human life is to experience every moment fully. Fully. Rather than the way that you run through life now, which is that you're just doing stuff and living in your mind, living conceptually in the future or in the past, but you're not present enough to realize the beauty of what this is here. You're disconnected from being. Another point for your human life is to help others to awaken because you love them and because they are you. And I've already sort of touched on this point a little bit earlier. So it's a bit of a duplicate. Another point of your life is to evolve your consciousness. See, you're here not to eat and work and get money and acquire pleasure and sex and family and all these things, cars and houses. That's not why you're here. You're here to evolve your consciousness. All of that other stuff is just grist for the mill of evolving your consciousness. You are a probe which has a certain limit on how much of God you can see. See? Because God is such an amazing, stupendous, and wondrous, and loving thing that your capacity to handle its love and beauty only goes up, like, say, on a scale of 1 to a million, it only goes up to, like, 100. And so your lifetime here is supposed to be growing your eyeball so that you could take in more and more of the light of the consciousness, the beauty, and the love, to go from like 100 to 200 to 300, so you can take in more and more and more and more until ultimately you get to the point where you become infinite in your capacity to take in consciousness and love. And at that point, you explode and you become God. You merge with God. The probe realizes that it was God the entire time. The point of your human life is also to align your will with the will of God, because these are actually not quite the same thing. And I'll elaborate more upon this in my episode about free will, which will be coming up pretty soon in the future. It's really a companion episode to this one. But basically, for ordinary human beings, their will is not aligned with God's will because they are so selfish and they are devils. And they are incapable of love because they're crippled by fear. And so it turns out that the things that they desire and that they want for themselves and for the world are rather shallow and petty and ungodlike, we might say. And so the more that you grow yourself and evolve your consciousness, the more you realize that you are God, the more you start to align your will with God until at some point they actually become identical. Another point of your human life is to create the most beautiful creation possible. Again, because you realize that you are literally the creator. You're not a creator, you're the creator. There's only one creator here, and it's you. And so when you realize that and you take ownership of that, then the question becomes, what kind of world would God create? And then you realize that you as a human are literally doing that through your hands, feet, mouth, eyes, and everything you do in your life. You are creating the world. But the question is, what kind of world will you create? Will you create a heaven or a hell? Will you create knowingly or unknowingly? Accidentally or deliberately? Because you see, God didn't create this entire universe accidentally or unknowingly. He did it with very clear intention. Precision engineered. So are you going to do that within your own life? Are you going to replicate that? Or are you going to choose to be a devil? And you can choose to be a devil. You could choose to create unconsciously. And if you do choose that, then what happens is that that's fine. That's also God. you're not really contradicting God if you do that, if you choose to be a devil. But then that is God experiencing what it's like to create. Unconsciously. And of course, God also wants to experience that. It would be almost like a master painter. Imagine Picasso, you know, he's so good at the technical skill of painting that it doesn't even challenge him anymore. He can paint anything with perfect precision. And that actually was the case with Picasso. I mean, his art is very abstract and loosey-goosey, but when he was training, he was professionally classically trained as just like a realist artist. So he could do that. But now imagine, you know, the artist just gets bored because, you know, his creations are too perfect. So what he does is he just like drinks two bottles of vodka and then goes paints just to see what that's like. And of course, he'll probably create some ugly stuff. But, you know, it's interesting. Who knows what'll happen? So most people who are creators, what they're doing, I mean, they're still gods. Everyone is God. The problem is you don't know you're God. So when you don't know that you're God and you haven't taken ownership, you play a victim. You haven't taken control of your creative power. Then what you do is you're like that drunk. You're like that drunk expert artist who is painting all sorts of silly, stupid stuff. And so that's what most people are doing. And the last point of your human life is to choose and to define who you want to be, how you want to show up in the world. Because as a creator, you have that choice. Now, of course, virtually nobody exercises this choice because they believe that life defines them and they believe that they're victims and that they're stuck. But when you realize you're God, now you have a choice about this. And you can define who you want to be and how you want to show up. And so you can decide whether you want to show up as a devil or as an angel. And either way is fine. There's no right or wrong answers. There's no judgments. You can go any way about it you want, because God has total freedom. So here's what's going to happen in your life and in the universe as a whole, is that you will reincarnate an infinite number of times until you realize every corner of God. You will in fact live through all possible lives, through all humans and non-humans alike and aliens and everything else that exists in the universe. You'll live through all of it because there's only one universe and there's only one self, capital S self, and you're it. God is it. You and God are one. At every stage of your incarnation, consciousness will be evolving. Evolving towards what? Towards greater self-awareness, a larger embrace of oneself, a larger embrace of the world and the whole cosmos, towards greater love, unconditional love, and towards a greater and deeper realization that you are one with everything and that you are God. And ultimately what this leads to through all these different incarnations is finally you will reach a point where you merge back into the total unity of what you are. Nirvana. Total lack of distinction. There's nothing there. It's total emptiness, this nirvana. But this is paradise. This is the ultimate heaven, the ultimate bliss. It's pure bliss. You will merge into it. And this is what we call the Godhead. And that is your ultimate, truest nature. And you will realize that. And you will be at total peace as this Godhead. Nothing can touch you because you're completely immortal and you exist there for eternity. As nothingness. And then you'll get bored of that and you will decide to divide yourself again, and this whole process will begin again. You will polarize out of this indistinct nirvanic state and you will divide yourself an infinite number of times to recreate the whole game over again. And you'll go through it again and again and again. And again and again to infinity forever, for eternity. And that is what you've been doing here. And that's why you're sitting in that chair right there, right now, exactly where you are, listening to me as I'm sitting here. Or maybe you're standing. Or maybe you're lying down. Or maybe you're upside down. I don't know where you are. Ta-da! That's what's going on here. Consciousness has divided itself and it seeks to reunify with itself. And this cycle goes on forever. You have an infinite number of lives and you cannot die. All that's going to happen is that you just change forms and you probe yourself from one orifice to another orifice to another orifice to another orifice because there's an infinite number of orifices. But luckily, you have infinite time to probe yourself. So here you are going through one of the orifices, which is the country that you're sitting in right now. Whatever you're doing, your current life, the relationship you're in, the marriage you're in, the children you have, and all that. That's one orifice of God that you're exploring. And of course, you have nothing to lose in this process, and there's no possibility of failure. Because in the end, all paths eventually lead to nirvana. It's just a question of how long, how many incarnations will it take you to finally realize nirvana? It's possible for you to realize nirvana right here, right now, because nirvana is actually not somewhere else, but literally right here. But it'll probably take you many incarnations to wisen up to the point where you realize that. Now let's answer some objections. But Leo, I thought life was meaningless. Isn't that what Buddhism teaches? Isn't that what enlightenment is about? It's meaningless, right? Now you're saying that there's meaning to life? No, I didn't necessarily say that there's meaning to life. Actually, life is literally meaningless. It has no meaning. But don't confuse this with some negative outlook, some pessimistic, nihilistic, depressed state, or a lack of passion or creation. Meaningless means it has no meaning. So meaninglessness itself is meaningless. Therefore, you can still be passionate and creative and do whatever you want. Nothing changes. In fact, you now have the freedom, because of this meaninglessness, to create whatever kind of meanings you want. Of course, being is prior to meaning and is much more profound than meaning. That's something you need to become conscious of. Being is its own point. Oneness must be its own point because there's nothing outside of the universe that it could appeal to be a point. It's not like the universe can go somewhere. It can only work within itself. You see, there's nowhere to go. It has no place to go because it is everywhere already. So where's it going to go? What kind of point is it going to have? Its point is itself. But what you need to realize is that you are part of that point. Because you are it. And you, as God, are a conscious, intelligent creator. Therefore, you get to define what point you want your creation to make. But while, yes, it's true that everything is ultimately meaningless, you have to also understand that human life has a deliberate design and a higher function. Like a cog in a machine. So like if we take a car engine, we could say that the car engine in some ultimate absolute sense is totally meaningless. It has no value. It has no worth. It has no meaning. Just a car engine. But at the same time, we can say that the pistons in that car engine have a very specific, deliberate function that was deliberately designed. Those pistons are there because they're supposed to be combusting. Moving crankshafts and so forth. You see? And so in that sense, the pistons have a function. They were designed with a function. Likewise, your life here is not accidental. You weren't just some random creation of your parents having sex. It's much more profound than that. You have a function, which I've explained already. Your function is to evolve and to realize God. and then to take full ownership of that. So it's sort of like a game that God is playing with itself. God is purposefully, artificially limiting itself so that it could experience what it's like to live through itself as a limited thing and then to realize itself. And do that over and over again in a bunch of different ways. And through that, it gets to experience life in all the multifaceted richness that it is. And through that, it gets to experience its full beauty, love, and grandeur and magnitude, and its infinity. So you can't appreciate infinity until you've literally lived through every possible life, through every possible era, through every possible time, on every planet, in every universe, and all the multiverses, all of it together. Only then will you fully appreciate what infinity means. Another objection. But Leo, I thought that nothing mattered. Yes, you're right. Nothing matters. Yet God must still be God. It must still experience all of its parts, because that's what God is. And the only thing that's impossible for God is for God not to be God. So ultimately, creation doesn't matter. God doesn't create because it matters. God creates because it doesn't matter. God creates for the joy of creation. God creates to delight itself, just to be itself, because there's no point outside of itself, so all it can do is play with itself. Creation is its own end, because there's nothing outside of creation. Think of it like a child playing with Legos. There's no reason for the child to create anything particular with its Legos. It can create whatever it wants. It's playing. So it will just create whatever gives it the most joy and delight. Of course, the child can create monstrosities, or it can get very kind of deliberate about what it wants to create, and it can create the most grand, beautiful designs. It can create whatever it wants. It can do both. And there's nobody judging this child, because this child is all by itself. It's all alone. So it has an infinite number of time and an infinite number of Lego blocks. It can build whatever it wants. And of course, you are this child. As a human, your creative capacities are, of course, limited. So you don't have an infinite number of blocks. You only have a certain number of blocks. But still, it's rich enough. You have enough blocks that you can build some pretty amazing stuff. Or if you do it unconsciously, you can build some monstrosities. And if you just let your life run on autopilot without deliberately creating anything, then your default creation, because you're still going to be a creator no matter what you do, your default creation will be a monstrosity. And so that's what most people's lives are. They're monstrosities, because they don't realize that they're creators. Another objection. But Leo, isn't this religious dogma that you're talking about? No. Don't blindly believe anything I say here. Verify it for yourself. Discover it for yourself. If what I say is true, you can discover it. You can verify it. But Leo, how could you possibly know all this? Seems like you're just making this shit up, pulling it out of your ass. It's difficult to explain to you how I could know all this, precisely because the knowing of it is so grand and so complex and so subtle that you will only be able to know once you know. You can't anticipate it. You can't predict it. It won't fit within your logical schemes or within your paradigms of proof and evidence. But the way that I know it is through a combination of ways, which you could use, and I recommend you use these ways. Through mystical experiences that I've had, many of them, through contemplation, through deep study and research of dozens and hundreds of spiritual books and spiritual scriptures, and through my own intuition. And ultimately, the way that I know it is because God told me. And of course, people don't like to hear that. That sounds kind of kooky. But at the same time, I am God. So what happened was that I literally invented it. I imagined it. So when I say that God told me, I told myself. So when you realize that you are God and that you create everything, you will also realize that you are speaking to yourself and that you are inspiring yourself and creating yourself. And therefore, you yourself are ultimately going to imagine and create for yourself the explanation to what it is that you're doing. So in a sense, it's like the child is sitting there playing with Legos. And imagine that it's been sitting there for hundreds of years playing with Legos, just this kind of eternal child that doesn't age. And then at one point, it asks itself this question, like, wait a minute, what am I doing here? What is the point of all these Legos? How did I even get here? And then it starts to think and contemplate, and then ultimately it realizes, oh, yeah, that's it. Of course, I put myself here to play with these Legos. You see, but the child can't turn to any kind of external resource because the child is all alone forever. So when you realize that, you will realize that ultimately all the answers that you come up with for life are actually your own imagination. And of course, people get turned off by this. They say, oh, Leo, so you're just imagining all these? They're not real? But what you don't understand is that creation is imagination. You're imagining everything. Everything you call real, you're imagining. You're just not taking ownership of it yet because you don't realize how you're creating it because you're not conscious enough of that yet. When you do, you'll realize that you are making all of it up, including the chair that you're sitting on, including the stars, the atoms, the planets, your body, and everything. You are imagining it all. That's what this is. And of course, you're imagining all of your explanations for reality. It's a bit of a mindfuck. It's a bit of a tough pill to swallow for many rationalists and atheists and skeptics. But nevertheless, it is what it is. You can realize this for yourself. Another objection, Leo, but what if you're deluded? Well, what's your alternative? You see, you have to propose an alternative. Be very careful because don't assume that, well, Leo, well, my alternative is just science or my alternative is just nothing. But you see, that then becomes what governs your whole life. That's how you live your life, under this nothing. And so therefore, what you do by having nothing as an alternative or having science as an alternative is that you're a piss poor, miserable creator. You're a victim. You don't realize your full creative capacity. So the way you can test whether what I'm saying is deluded is try it for yourself. Live your life as a creator, as though you were God, and see if that doesn't improve your life dramatically. And then ask yourself, is there a better way to live? And what you'll see is that there isn't. And through this, you can convince yourself that what I'm saying has some truth. Another objection, but Leo, what about your life purpose course? Are you contradicting that? No, I'm not. Everything I'm saying here is just an extension of the stuff I talked about in the life purpose course. The life purpose course is very narrow and specific about helping you define your career and also define your top values and top strengths and all that. It's supposed to be specific and concrete to really get results in your life. And what I'm talking about here is just giving a bigger context to that life purpose course. So take what you learn in the life purpose course, which I recommend you take. It'll help you a lot to figure out your life in a practical way, and then connect it to with the stuff that I'm saying here, and then you'll be on fire. You'll be on fire. But Leo, does this mean that I can fail at life? Because it sounds like you're saying that there's like these different lives that I'm going to incarnate through. And, you know, I could evolve slower or faster. Some people evolve slower. Some people grow faster and so forth. And, you know, what, Leo, what happens if I don't realize God before I die? Like I said before, there's no failing at this game because death is just an illusion. Death doesn't really exist. You're eternal and you're immortal. and all roads ultimately lead to nirvana. It's just a question of time. And even that is not a problem. It doesn't matter if you live through 50 lives and don't get enlightened, because the point is to experience those 50 lives. So don't like think that your goal here is to quickly rush to nirvana as soon as possible. No, your goal is to savor all of yourself, all of your delusion and idiocy and duality, limitation, suffering and pain. Yeah, experience all of that. How else can God know what pain is unless it lived through you to realize that? So create all the misery and devilry you want. Destroy the entire world. And therefore give God the pleasure of realizing that as part of what it is. Another objection. But Leo, I just want to escape to this life and all this pain and suffering. I just want to escape to nirvana. So why don't I just kill myself? You could. Nothing stopping you. You're totally free to do that. Of course, what you don't realize now is that the grass is always greener on the other side. So once you do kill yourself, and let's say you even do escape to nirvana, well, you're going to be there. You're going to be omniscient and all-knowing and totally indistinct. And then what will happen is that you'll want to polarize yourself back and divide yourself again and return back here, because it's going to be boring up there. You're going to want to experience all of the duality, all of the limitation. It's almost like a video game. You can always quit a video game at any time, but if all there is to do is play video games and you're not playing a video game, then when you're not playing it, you're just kind of sitting there doing absolutely nothing. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing to see. There's nothing to look at. There's nothing to interact with. That's like nirvana. And then, so you get tired of that, and then you want to get back into the game. And so that's where you are right now. You got into the game from a position of nirvana. You just don't remember. You see? If you knew that, then you would stop trying to run away from where you are right now. Where you are right now is the perfect place that you need to be. You are here to experience duality. Besides which, nirvana is not separate from this place right here, right now. If you become conscious enough, you can realize nirvana in this very present moment. There's really nowhere to go. Don't think that nirvana is someplace else. Nirvana is right here. When you die, you will be right fucking here. There's nowhere to go. You're already nowhere. Because there's no such thing as space or time. There's only nowhere. You are residing within nowhere. You have always been within nowhere. Anywhere you go is nowhere. Another objection. But Leo, isn't this ego? I mean, it sounds like you're saying that there's like a point and a purpose to life, but this is ego, right? Wrong. I am explaining the architecture of life. Like I said with that analogy about the car engine and the pistons. So I'm not saying that there's one right purpose. I'm not even saying that you have to evolve. I'm not saying you have to do anything. You can do whatever the fuck you want. But there is this overarching design, just like with that car engine. It's not egotistical to say so. This is just what God is. I'm just basically explaining to you what God is. It functions in certain deliberate ways. It's not arbitrary. It's not just random. It's not just chaos. There's structure here. But Leo, doesn't enlightenment mean that there's nothing to do? And it sounds like here you're saying that now I have a mission, I have stuff to do. Well, be careful here, because I didn't actually say that there's anything to do. If you want, you can do nothing. Also be careful, because enlightenment doesn't say anything about what you should and shouldn't do per se. All that enlightenment means is that you realize that you are the creator. And then the question becomes, what do you want to create? Enlightenment doesn't tell you per se what you should create. And in fact, there are no shoulds in the universe. Nobody can tell you what you want to create because you yourself are the creator. So if there are any shoulds, you created them yourself. So the only way there can be shoulds is if you create them. If you don't create them, they're not there. You see? So nobody can force you because you're one. You're all alone. You're like that child playing with Legos. There's nobody telling the child what to do, what he can or can't build, what's right or what's wrong. If that child wants to sit there for a million years and not touch a single Lego block, he can do that. Or he can build monstrosities, or he can build brilliant things that move and evolve and whatever. You know, do whatever you want. But if you fully understand that you are the creator, you'll probably want to actually experiment with the process of creation and not just sit there and do absolutely nothing. Because, you know, being a creator is fun. Lego blocks are fun. Most people who aren't building with the Lego blocks, it's not because they've decided consciously not to build. That would be okay. The problem is that they haven't made a conscious decision. It's just that they don't even know that they're a creator. It's like they're sitting with a bunch of Lego blocks, but they don't even know that you could stack them and stick them together to build stuff because nobody has explained it until now. Now it's been explained to you. Now you could say, aha, that's my purpose here, is to play with these blocks in a conscious way. And that would be helpful to you, whether you are or are not enlightened yet. And the last objection, but Leo, what you said here doesn't conform to the spiritual scriptures that I've read and the classical teachings, or to what Eckhart Tolle has said, or something like this. Look, that's because there's much more to spirituality than one or two realizations, or what Eckhart Tolle has told you. There's a lot more. There's a lot more depth and also breadth to it. And there's a lot of ways to talk about it. So a lot of the things that I've said, you know, aren't original. They have been said many times before by many gurus, yogis, sages, mystics, and scriptures and so forth. You just have to like really dig through it and think through it and also realize these things for yourself, which can be difficult to do. It can be difficult to put all this together. A lot of times people think of enlightenment way too simplistically as just one or two realizations of no self or something like this. But there's more to it. A lot of gurus don't teach you well about your creative capacities and powers. And actually, one more objection. But Leo, isn't reality perfect? Isn't that what enlightenment reveals? So then, why are you saying that it needs improvement? It doesn't need, there's nothing to improve. Isn't improvement just ego seeking? This is very simplistic, black and white understanding of non-duality. Yes, everything is perfect, and nothing I said here contradicts the perfection of it. So like that child playing with those Legos, from the absolute perspective, anything the child creates is perfect. Even if he creates some monstrosity, it's okay, no big deal. What's the problem with the monstrosity? He's just creating stuff. It's still perfect. But even if everything is perfect, you can still create stuff out of those Legos and enjoy whatever you create. So the mistake is to think that if everything is perfect, then I shouldn't even touch those Legos. But that's wrong. Nothing in the perfection says that you can't play with the blocks and be a creator. In fact, it would be a big mistake to interpret it that way. Conscious creation is not about needing something to be better. You're not doing out of a sense of lack, like, ooh, you know, like, something is not right in my life, so I'm going to go create something. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is self-expressing yourself, self-expression as God, expressing your godhood, not out of lack, but out of abundance, out of love, not out of fear, not because you need something, not because your ego is scheming towards something, not because you want to manipulate somebody to get something, but just purely out of love and selflessness, because that's how God does it. God needs nothing. God didn't create this whole thing because it needed to. It did it because it loves itself and it wanted to. It's just being who it is. See? It's just being who it is. And so the invitation here is for you to become more aware of who you are authentically, and then to follow that. And if that means you just want to sit there and not touch anything, if you want to escape to some nirvanic realm, go for it. Nobody's stopping you. You can do that too. But realize that you'll just come back here. You'll get bored of that. You'll come back. So this is the overarching explanation of the point of life. Quite profound, quite significant. It's not so simple as just saying everything is meaningless and purposeless. When you understand everything that I said here at a deep level, your entire life will fall into place. Everything will become crystal clear. You will know what to do. You will stop being lost the way you have been for decades. 99% of people have no idea what life is about, which is why they're so miserable. They feel depressed, uninspired, mundane, alienated. That's right, because you're alienated from yourself as God. You are God alienated right now. And that's why your life sucks. And you are literally uninspired, which literally means, you know, inspire, in spirit. You literally are uninspirited. You lost your own spirit. You're living a materialist life. And so, of course, you're miserable and depressed. Of course. And of course, you're addicted. The reason you're addicted is because you haven't discovered the joy of creation. If you did, you wouldn't be addicted to anything. You wouldn't need anything if you purified your ego and you became selfless and you became godlike. So all your suffering and pain is self-created, of course. So this gives you an opportunity to escape from that. This is your escape plan. If you want. You know, on the other hand, if you want to suffer in misery and be a devil, go right ahead. God will love you anyways. God will just experience what devilry is like. And this explains why society is also so dysfunctional, is because 99% of people are what make up society. And of course, because they're miserable, depressed, and uninspired, and alienated, society is also this way. And that's why all the chaos and dysfunction in society is happening, within government, politics, business, these mass shootings that we see on the news, terrorist attacks and crime and drug abuse and corporate shenanigans and corruption in government, all of this. This is just the only reason it's happening is because the people who are doing it, 99% of our population is literally uninspired, alienated from their true self. Probably just like you. And so most of our populace is wasting their lives not being loving creators because they haven't found the love within. They haven't found universal love. And so, of course, it's no wonder that our society is so unloving and unkind. That's why. Because you must find the love within. And nothing in your life will ever substitute for universal love. Because that is your true nature. And because you, as this probe, as this individuated spirit right now, which is living through this particular incarnation, you have a thirst. You know, you have a deep down knowledge, a remembrance of the power of love, because you were that before you incarnated here. So you want to get back to that. That's what you're seeking. That's all that human beings are ever doing in life. The only thing human beings are doing, no matter who they are, how evil they are, how big of a devil they are, or anything, is they are seeking love. Everything that any human being has ever done was done out of love. The problem, though, is that it's a twisted, contorted love, a dysfunctional, neurotic love. So, for example, when a terrorist blows himself up, he's doing it out of love. Love for his religion. love for his ideology, love for his fellow friends and family and mates, love for God, love for Allah. But you see, it's a very twisted form of love because the love is very partial. Like, he loves Allah, but he hates the Christian God or the Hindu God or the Jewish God or something like that. And see, he loves his family and maybe his national compatriots and fellow terrorists, but he doesn't love Americans or he doesn't love Europeans or whatever. But see, that's because he's not realizing that he is everything. He hasn't realized that yet. So his love is so twisted and dysfunctional. See, so as you actually become truly more loving and your love becomes universal and your love is not very partial to your particular tribe, family, friends, your own body, your own personal possessions, your own ego, but your love extends to the entire universe and all sentient beings, then your love is going to be less devilish love and more like godlike love, universal love, because God's love is completely unlimited, unconditional, and universal. So my suggestion for you, having heard all this, is to start living your life as if you were God. Here are three questions to help you to figure this out. Number one, if I were fearless and unlimited, what would I create? Number two, if I were totally selfless, how would I live? Number three, if I were immortal, what would I create and what would I do? And you see immediately that this is hard to do. It's hard for your ego to do this because you're so goddamn selfish. And this is why you need many lifetimes and a lot of years of personal development and growth and consciousness work and meditation and psychedelics and all this stuff. You need all that. And it's so difficult and painful and challenging. You have ego backlashes and backsliding and all this stuff. Yeah, because this is the process of evolution. Evolution is not easy. Being God is not easy. It's the ultimate challenge to completely let go of all your fears, all your egotism, and become totally selfless, fearless, and loving. Not easy, but it sure is worth it. And that's the whole game of life. There's nothing else going on here. That's it. So I recommend that you align yourself with the purpose of the universe. Because up to this point, you've been living your life totally out of alignment. And you've been feeling the consequences, the very real practical consequences of that. You've been feeling it in your relationship, in your career, in your finances, in your politics, in your personal life, within your own mind. You've been driving yourself crazy with your mind. So how do you make this alignment? Here are some ideas. First of all, by taking 100% responsibility for your life. That's what God ultimately has to do. God has to be totally responsible because he's all alone. She's all alone. God can't play victim, so stop playing victim. God can't whine, judge, bitch, moan, blame, or scapegoat anybody else because God is all there is. So stop doing that if you want to be more godlike. Also, I recommend that you align yourself by working to raise and elevate your consciousness. This is very direct. Through meditation, psychedelics, self-inquiry, shamanic breathing, other sorts of techniques that I've shared in the past. Also, you can align yourself by discovering and also deciding who you want to be in this life. You get to decide, do you want to be a devil? Do you want to be an angel? Do you want to be inspiring? Do you want to be a leader? Do you want to be loving or do you want to be filled with hate? Do you want to judge? Do you want to blame? Do you want to scapegoat others? Do you want to wage a war against the feminists or the Marxists or the terrorists or the nationalists or the Republicans or the Democrats? What do you want? The problem is that you're doing all this without having decided what you want. And so it's just unfolding automatically. And what you're getting by default is devilry, because devilry is unconsciousness. Another way to align yourself is by following your highest vision for yourself. And it's very easy to find what your highest vision for yourself is. It's who you would be if you were ultimately loving, ultimately selfless, and ultimately conscious. What would that look like? That is you moving towards God. If you follow through on that fearlessly, and I underscore fearlessly, because you will have a lot of fear and it will not be easy. Your ego will resist it all the way. So what I'm describing here is not easy stuff, which is why it's so rarely done. In fact, it's so rarely done that what I'm saying here sounds insane and utterly impossible, a total pipe dream for most people, because you have no references of others in your community who have done it. And in fact, those few people who have done it are deified as gods within our culture. Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, handfuls of others. What did they do? Why are they so famous? Why are they revered and worshipped by billions of people for thousands of years? Because they did this. And because it's so hard. But also, because it's so hard, it's so inspiring. And the reason it's so inspiring is because you know that this is what your purpose in life is. That's why it inspires you. Nothing will inspire you more than being totally loving, selfless, and conscious. Because that's all there is that's to do to here. That's all we're doing here. That's the pinnacle of existence. Nothing can inspire you more than that. So why not live your life inspired? Why not live your life inspiring others? Why not live your life demonstrating the goodness and love of what you ultimately are? You see? And the reason is all of your weaknesses and all of your fear. And another way that you can align yourself with the purpose of the universe is by helping to inspire others and to awaken others through your love and through your speaking of truth and through your personal embodiment and demonstration. This is you playing the highest role that you can play in the world. So in conclusion, your spirit yearns to express itself, not just in any way, but in the highest possible way, in the most inspiring possible way. Your spirit is fueled by love and selfless action, which is why when you go to the movies, and you see some great movie, some tearjerker movie that brings you to tears, why do you cry? Because what you see there is the highest expression of God, love and selflessness. This is the highest motivation that exists for mankind. This is the highest motivation in the entire universe. Because this goes to the very source of all of existence. There's nothing higher. Your spirit is supercharged when you allow it to reconnect with the oneness, the truth of existence. That's what fires your spirit up. And don't make the mistake of thinking that there's only one way that you can do this. Like, don't get the silly idea that you have to become a guru in order to somehow inspire your spirit and reconnect with oneness. No, like there's a million different ways that you can do it. You can do it as a lawyer, as a politician, as a scientist, as an inventor, as an artist, as a musician, as a filmmaker, as an astronaut, as an inventor, as a business person. There's a million ways that you can translate the love and selflessness of God into our physical world. And we certainly don't need everybody to be gurus. We need inspired artists and poets and filmmakers and politicians and lawyers and business people, especially business people, lawyers and politicians. We need them to be more inspired than anybody else. Otherwise, what we get is the devilry that we see happening all over the world right now. Nationalism and all sorts of environmental destruction, catastrophe, and racism and hatred and division. You see, people who sow division in the world do so because they're scared and because they don't know how to love and because their love is so partial and limited and because they have not realized themselves as God. Sure, they worship God, but they don't actually realize that they themselves are God. They're hypocrites. The majority of Christians and Muslims are total hypocrites. So your spirit yearns to reconnect with the truth. And that is ultimately your way to salvation and the world's way to salvation. Because if more people don't do this, then the world is going straight to hell. And you and your children and your children's children will live and experience that hell. And you know what? It's totally fine. God loves it all. God loves hell. This world can get annihilated through nuclear war and environmental destruction, and God will enjoy it all. Because that's how unconditional and selfless God's love is. God loves anything that it creates. So, now you know what true living looks like. True life begins now for you today. Now you know why you're here for the first time in your life. And you can feel it in your spirit. The things that I've said here have resonated deeply within your heart, which is a sign of its truth. Because it has triggered love within you. It has motivated you and it has inspired you. And the reason it has is because it's true. Welcome to the first day of your life. Return to this episode repeatedly because you will forget. You will fall off the narrow path towards God, and you will fall into depravity and devilry and forgetfulness. And all of this will just become a pipe dream for you unless you come back again and again and again and you work and you push to expand yourself, to grow yourself, to wash yourself of yourself until you build enough momentum and enough critical mass that finally you reach a tipping point, and from that point on, you are on the narrow road to awakening and to living as a creator and to demonstrating for the whole world what you can do as God. All right, that's it. We're done here. Please click that like button for me. Come check out actualize.org. That's my website. You'll find my blog, you'll find the forum, you'll find the Life Purpose course, you'll find my book list, which I will soon be updating with inspiring and amazing new books. I'll let you know when I do that. And the last thing that I'll say is that my most powerful teachings are yet to come. Yet to come. You haven't seen the half of it yet. Stop thinking that you've seen it all and heard it all and that you understand non-duality and spirituality and personal, but you don't understand shit yet. You don't know how deep this goes. You don't know how powerful this gets. This is just the beginning. And you will see me demonstrate to you through my own life how this works. How to embody the highest goodness and absolute love. Because that's what we're here to do. That's why I'm here. To lead you to God by becoming God before your eyes. It's not easy. There's a lot of work ahead. So watch it happen. Watch me struggle through it. Because you will struggle through it as much or more than I do. So stay tuned.